This is Chico Alexander here at the Spectrum One Studios in somewhere in America, welcoming you to our political debate between the delegate from New York, Jason Block, and the delegate from
Yes.
New Jersey, Gordon Pepper. Please welcome to the studio Mr. Jason Block and Mr. Gordon Pepper. Gordon, your opening rebuttal.
I think this show is going to be huge. Huge, baby, huge.
Jason, you have something to say?
Yes. Hashtag I'm with her.
And
That's
now,
all I have to say.
that was our political debate on the night that political idiot test is being on GSN. But first, boobies.
All right, I'm Jim Williams. Let's play softball. Got a real great post-debate show to talk about for you tonight. I'm sorry.
Right.
Why are you glad that we cover game shows instead of this?
Well, excuse me, we actually have another political podcast, but we're not going to talk about that. But the boobs we're going to talk about include.
Is that the one where I'm blue state, you're red state, and Jim Williams is state of confusion?
No, he stayed in New Jersey.
South Jersey, we're going to secede.
Yes, exactly.
We have state of shock.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Well, yes, but speaking of shock, there was actually a very big shock on America on Survivor tonight.
Yep.
No, not really.
Except where there wasn't really a shock. We'll get to that, plus a bit of breaking news that we'll touch on briefly as soon as we say, from somewhere in America, We Love to Interrupt is on. All right, welcome once again to the world's strongest game show podcast, alongside Gordon Pepper, our research and development department, Jason Block, and
Thank you.
our engineer, director, and motivational coach, Jim Williams.
Yay.
You got a little bit of Fluttershy there, buddy. Anyway,
Boo.
Anyway, we will get to the program as directed in a moment, but right now we've got some breaking news. No, we don't have the sound effect of the window breaking. No,
No,
okay.
we'll get there. We'll
We'll
get
put
there.
it in
Put it
post.
in
How about
post.
that?
Do it in post, damn it. Anyway.
Okay. This from NBC Sports. NBC Sports Group and Crackle will present Sports Jeopardy on NBCSN following the network's nightly coverage of the Rio Olympics. NBCSN has acquired the exclusive television rights to the series, hosted by Dan Patrick, which airs originally on Crackle. The 30-minute sports quiz show will air on NBCSN on Saturday, August 6th at midnight, and then will air nightly for 2 consecutive weeks until the conclusion of the games. Following a brief hiatus, Sports Jeopardy will return in the fall of 2016 to air weekly on NBCSN immediately following the network's coverage of NHL Wednesday Night Rivalry. NBC Sports commentators and highlights of NBC Sports Group's live events will be incorporated into the show. Quick question: does this mean Sports Jeopardy is a go for season 3? Or is it just off broadcast?
Now, remind us all who exactly has the Winter Olympics.
Sorry?
Remind us all who has the Olympics.
The networks of
NBC,
NBC
an NBC
Universal.
of NBC. Yeah, what you said.
So basically, we're talking brand extension. I don't think you need this for it to be renewed, but I think it's getting renewed anyway. This certainly doesn't hurt.
No, it does not.
It's something that should have been done maybe a year or so ago, because think about it. Your host is one of NBCSN's top personalities, and Dan Patrick, with his big-time radio show, which beats Couchers out of the... Oh, sorry. Got too far there.
He's
with NBC Sports, with NBCSN. It's a natural brand extension, as Gordon said. It opens the door for a possible season three. I mean, they have 100 episodes to run from the first two seasons of the Crackle version of Sports Jeopardy. So I think they're just testing the waters, and it's cheap to do that, just to acquire the rights. Dirt cheap, probably.
They've already got the talent in place, and they've already got the episodes in place.
And the fact that they're wanting to put this after their marquee NHL broadcast, the Wednesday night game, is a step in the right direction, too. I think that's, you know, we'll see what they get out of a lead-in from that. I mean, NBCSN, of the non-ESPN sports networks, looking at you, Fox Sports 1, damn you, they get it right in that they don't try to be ESPN. So they're not trying to compete with them. They're just trying to be their own separate entity. And this is just a natural evolution of it.
And for the most part, it's working because they also have the Premier League, which, if I'm not mistaken, does really nice.
Let me tell you something. NBCSN, and you know me, I'm a very huge Premier League fan. And the way they have monetized, they are the first American network to monetize the British Premier League in a way that Fox couldn't do.
And ESPN Indeed. Couldn't.
And
ESPN. And our good friend, Mr. Michael Davies, with the Men in Blazers show.
Which is awesome.
Which is a great show. So this is about as perfect a fit as you can get. I think the run for Sports Jeopardy is going to be a test run to see what it does on there, so that it could be a test for a season three. Because Gordon, correct me if I'm wrong, the rumor was that they were not renewing it for season three. Is that correct?
It was a weak rumor at best. So, but obviously, you know, if you have that sort of show, you definitely want to monetize it, and this is a great way to do it. Keep this in mind. What does NBC not have on Sunday afternoons?
On Sunday afternoons, they do not have the NFL. They only have half the Thursday night package and
the Sunday night games you know, whatever wild card game or divisional playoff. Yeah.
And they also have the.
This would be pretty good counter-programming.
Yeah, I mean, this fills out a great void as counter-programming on Sunday. Say if your team is off or they're not till the 4 o'clock Eastern window, put on some Sports Jeopardy.
Or if they're the Philadelphia Eagles.
Beg your... You know what?
Jim?
You know what?
Hey, Jim? Hold
on. Jim?
Yes.
Okay.
It's okay. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful,
Jim. Nope, it's okay. Just because we're traded with the Browns.
No, but let's just...
Oh!
Yes, I know.
They did do that. What?
Yes, they did. Well, you know what?
There's
Jim,
a BS podcast for that. Continue, please. Continue.
Okay.
But seriously, though, good move. Good move. Let me just tell you something. I hope it succeeds. I really do. And we'll see where it goes from there.
Okay, right now we're going to the mothership and a final Jeopardy that could very well be on Sports Jeopardy. The category is at the old ball game.
Hey, let's get some runs, which we can in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, that is because that was the latest Final Jeopardy in the continued run of, I think, the best overall contestant of this season so far.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I believe his name is Andrew Powell.
Okay. An assistant professor from Amherst, Ohio. Remember his name. You're going to hear a lot of it in the coming weeks and months because we'll talk more about that later. But right now, Andrew Powell, if you saw him on his first game, you didn't really expect much, did you?
Well, because, again, contestants have been, you know, up and down all the year.
Yep. And Andrew was no exception. I believe he went into the either went into the TV timeout or the half in the negative. But he has been roaring back ever since and has been, you know, has had, like, a steady clip of success I have not seen since at least Roger Craig, perhaps? And the Earl and tonight's episode, he goes into Final Jeopardy with 18,600. Now, it's not the total that he could have had earlier, which would have broken the one-day record, and Alex just made many a mention of that.
As he's off to do, yes.
Yeah, because, let's face it, Alex Trebek is Jeff Probst. And Jeff Probst is... They're the same person. Alex Trebek and Jeff Probst are the same person.
Daddy?
But, no, they are not. Come on.
Sorry,
they're really
Chico.
Not.
I'm playing...
No, seriously, where are you coming up with that, Chico? Where are you coming up with that?
Chico's like, coming up with the... They both like to play the D-move kind of thing and just kind of nudge.
Hey, you see what you did there? You have, like... Yeah, 2,500 or 25,000. You know the one-day record's like 80,000.
Come on, you know you want to. That man said $80,000.
Hey Jay, I'm just racking today's episode up in terms of Chico Engine's behavior to today's date.
Yes, I understand. Yes, that's fine. Well, here's the deal. Okay, let's go to the Final Jeopardy. The category is at the old ball game.
Yeah, the clue is this word dates back to the 19th century and referred to what the sun did to roofless seating.
Yeah, and you know something? After I found out what the answer was, I should have had it, which is what is, well, bleachers, or because the sun bleaches the seats.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the kink thing. For the last two nights, Andrew Powell has bet nothing because he's smart, because he's had locked games. Here's what, Gordon, if I may say, this is what I love about this guy. He is smart in his betting. He's good. He's aggressive on the questions. And he's, to me, so far in the four games, he's impressed because he's had balanced gameplay. Do you agree with that?
I do, actually. And the one thing that you haven't mentioned, but I will, he knows his strengths and weaknesses. He is not willing to go all out on something that he knows, and he's certainly willing to not do anything if it's something that he thinks he's going to have problems with.
Exactly, and that stands to reason why he bets nothing on Final Jeopardy. He knows he has the win, he's not going to risk it, he's not going to be greedy, and that's to be admired.
Absolutely, especially in this day and age. To Jason's point, I think he said it best, he is a balanced player, knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses, knowing when to bet, what to bet, when not to bet, when to push the chips in, when to lay out and just... You know, enjoy the moment, shall we say, and live to fight another day.
And there is nothing wrong with coasting when you have a locked game. There's a lot of times it's funny that I think about it is because a lot of people say, "Oh, you know, I'll bet a couple of thousand to make an even number." If you've got the game locked. And you want to bet nothing? That is a great strategy.
Absolutely.
Take the money and run. You have the win. Most people don't do that.
They want to just get the, you know, $1 more just to, you know, try to pad their bank account a little bit. Now, I'm sure there are people on social media who are probably going to rip this guy a new one for just doing nothing in Final Jeopardy. Hey, people on social media, try getting on a game show. Just saying.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. But I've got some raw stats here, thanks to our good friend Andy Saunders over at thejeopardyfan.com, best sites of Jeopardy fan lore there is out there.
Hashtag hat tip.
Hey, Andy, you want to come on this show? Maybe have one of us on your show. Anyway, the stats are he so far through four games he has gotten 102 clues correct. 6 incorrect, and has amassed a total of 123,802 $1 million.
He's only missed six.
He's only missed six.
Impressive.
Out of 108 clues, he has only missed six.
That's insane.
That is nuts.
I mean, Gordon, those are big. That's very rare numbers, isn't it?
It's very. I think it's even more than Ken Jennings. But that also goes to his strategy, which, again, there's no reason to bet and guess wildly on something where you have so much of a lead you don't need to.
It's the old adage, bet with your head, not over it.
Sorry, Gordon?
I said different strokes for different strokes, different strategies. You know, Ken Jennings was, let's win as much as I can. So was David Manning, and so was David Madden. Arthur Chu was, let's humiliate everybody, but let's win and I'll look like a superstar while doing it. Different strategy, which is, let's play just enough to win the game, and then we relax and take the fruit of our labors in. Nothing wrong with that.
And the way I sort of characterize this guy's play, and then I think we should move on, is the fact that I think his play would be chill. He's not stressed. He hasn't been pushed yet. He might, but he hasn't been pushed yet. And we'll see what happens when he gets pushed. But yeah.
Hashtag answer or hashtag question and chill. But
yeah,
right now you want to go from hashtag answer or question and chill to his name is John Cena.
Yes.
I didn't get a chance to watch the premiere, Jason. You did, and you have some interesting insights on American Grit.
Well, yeah, American Grit is a show. We'll do the full review later. But Chigo, you have a clip of this because this is very interesting.
I do have a clip of this.
We'll get to that. Let me set the clip up.
Okay, set the clip up.
The clip is that one of the guys, I forget the guy's name because he was just
Chris.
So
his name Chris. Is Chris.
Chris, yes. And usually we don't give a-holes the time of day, but this one's a special kind of a-hole. Okay. The American Grit is a story of 16 ordinary people being trained military style to win $1 million. Now, the key is in the game, you can't get voted out, and you can't get you can't get forced out. All you have to do is ring out or quit in the circus, which is the elimination style course at the end. But in the I forget the name of the first challenge, what happens is the winning team is safe, but one member of each other team has to go into the circus. Now,
it's called the Evolution, by the way.
The Evolution?
Yes.
Okay, the Evolution. Okay. So what happens is that this guy Chris on one of the four members of the cadre, which is basically called out the leadership of a Marine veteran named T. And then John Cena decides to, rips him a new one and tries to get him to apologize and, listen to the clip. Courtesy of our friends at Fox.
What's up, John? How you doing?
You seem excited and focused.
Yeah,
what's going on?
I get to do the obstacle course.
There is no way for me to possibly question your athletic ability. For me, your character may be in question. Your mentor is a gunnery sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. When you turned 10 years old, she was in boot camp kicking ass with men. When you were getting your driver's license, she was in Iraq in combat. And she was responsible not only for her own life, but the safety of more than 1,000 Marines. In 2008, while you were discovering yourself, your mentor was being awarded by the United States Marine Corps and the White House. You sleep under a blanket of freedom that she has provided for you.
Number one, I did question her leadership skills because they were in question.
Okay, and, please and finish.
If you're a football coach and you keep running the wrong play, you go to the coach and you say, we need to change this and this.
You got a problem with your coach from now on. Don't talk to your coach in front of the team. I think you owe T an apology. I do hope Chris comes back. He has the maturity level of a child, and I think this competition would help him evolve into a man.
Yeah, so, Chris never apologized, But he was, but again, this was right after he was chosen to run the circus. Now, the circus is an assault course of gargantuan, scale.
It's an obstacle course of 13 items.
Yes.
The advantage of finishing it as quickly as possible is that you get to rest up, because the second that the last place person is done, assuming that they don't quit, you have to go through an endurance challenge. Now, while the obstacle course will stay the same, the endurance challenge will differ per week. Now, was holding on to a rope. Whoever lets go of the rope, you lose, you ring out, you're done, you're out. In that case, Chris, who is the person that accused T, who is the Marine Sergeant, of being the reason why they lost, was the person who let go first, and therefore he rings out and he's the first person out. Here's the problem that I have with this. Chris was 100% right. She was the reason why they lost.
Well, that may be true, but
let me ask you something. Do you say that? The question is, do you say that?
No, absolutely not. You keep your mouth shut.
Thank you.
And the problem wasn't that Chris was wrong. He was right. The problem is, you don't say that. You just keep it to yourself, and you shut up, and you let someone else get picked on.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the mantras for this show is the same as the mantras of every other reality show, which is, don't be stupid enough to nominate yourself to be the person leaving. This is what happened, and that's why Chris went home.
Exactly. Exactly. It was one of those things where it was very rare to see reality show karma actually come to effect, but...
Not as rare as you think. It's the magic of editing.
That's
it
true.
It is, you know.
But hey, in this case, it's completely justified, and it just does well to tell a story. And we'll talk more about this in the Capital Reviews later in the show, but this show is really top-notch in its storytelling. But again, we'll get there.
Yeah,
we'll chat about that later. Right now, let's chat about something else.
Ooh, let's talk about Survivor, shall we?
Ooh, yeah!
Survivor.
Oh, boy. Now, today's... Well, okay, so after Debbie's blind side, we have a reward challenge, but this is a very interesting reward challenge.
Ooh,
okay.
How interesting are we talking about?
We're talking about a triple reward challenge, sort of, maybe. Okay? So here's how it works. You will stand on a balance beam with 1 foot balancing on a sort of like a teeter-totter ceramic pots. The pots are out, you're gone. Winner wins reward. However, there are 3 rewards you are playing for. Either an advantage in the game, which is 1, food, which is 2, or 3, love letters from home. Okay? So you have 3 winners. I believe it was Julia won love letters from home. Michelle won food, correct? I believe, right, Chico? And
you are correct.
And then Ty wins the advantage. And Ty's advantage is the extra vote from, I believe it was it last year's Survivor or a couple of Survivors ago?
It was a couple of Survivors ago, if I'm not mistaken. And if I am mistaken, I'm sorry.
Okay. So we go into the immunity challenge. And the immunity challenge is another challenge of strength. Oh, and by the way, Aubrey is starting to flip sides a little bit because she feeds information to the 3 big guys in Ty, Scott, and Jason.
We knew that one of them was going to flip. I just did not see Aubrey for the life of me.
Yes. So what happens is that Jason wins immunity in a very awesome challenge. Aubrey lasted an hour and 15 minutes holding up two discs with her palms stretched out, making sure the ceramic pots didn't drop. Okay?
Right.
So what happens is that so Jason wins immunity, and they think they're going to get rid of Aubrey. I believe they're trying to get rid of Aubrey by doing this, okay, playing the super idol. They give one to Jason. Jason gives one. Scott has his. Jason gives one to Ty, and they think that Ty is going to play the idol and play the super idol and not get knocked out. Well, that really didn't work, because here's what happened. The girls wanted to take out, I believe it was Scott. They wanted to flush the idols out, so they were, some voted for Ty, some voted for Scott. Scott said, after the votes were cast, Scott was the guy eliminated. Scott was looking at Ty. Ty was looking at Jason, and Ty said, "Bye, Scott. I ain't playing the idol. See ya." So Scott.
And you know what the thing is? After Scott was voted out, you know what he said? He's still holding his idol. So Ty's the only one with an idol right now.
Yeah. So you're saying, Gordon, that that wasn't a blood, that wasn't a
It wasn't a, you can see that coming a mile away, Gordon.
First of all, we're going to play the game. If you have a penis, you lose.
Oh, gee, wow, okay.
Also, if you have muscles, you lose.
That's the end game, and you know that's the end game. And the question is, which guy is going to cannibalize each other less than more days? And that's what the answer is. As you can tell, the girls' play since day one was to get rid of the idols. They may lose a female along the way, but they'll try to get rid of all the guys. Which is pretty much what they've done. They've eliminated now, and not only did they eliminate an idol, they eliminated two idols. Because Ty didn't play his, Scott played his, so now you have one idol left, and one person left, which is Ty. So, what that basically means for the girls is that they can now take out whoever they want, whose name is not Ty, and then when it's time to take out Ty, they'll try to get rid of him without him having to use the idol. And again, he can only save himself once.
Well, I think this is what you would call, in baseball parlance, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, a sack fly. Because if Ty gave up his idol, guess who's going home?
Would it have been Aubrey, or would it have been Ty?
It would have been Ty.
Interesting analogy. I go with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but especially in a tiebreaker, because you have that voting block. That
Let me ask you something. Hey. Could you read the votes again? What was the vote count?
The vote count was Scott with 4, Ty with 2, and Aubrey with 2.
So, but then they would have had a revote.
Yeah, but Aubrey, the ladies are voting in a block.
Ladies have the numbers.
Ladies have the numbers.
So then Ty would have gone bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Ty.
So basically, by not playing the idol, he was not only he was saving himself.
Yeah.
Exactly, yes.
Now you're getting it.
Aha, very interesting. Okay.
Which is why it's not as much of a surprise as you want to play it, that it is.
Not really.
No, because, but again... And now, so how many guys are left? Jason and Ty? That's it?
That's it.
Wow.
Tune in next week when we continue the adventures of If You Have a Penis, You Lose.
Wow.
And now it's time for 5 seconds of GSN. Winsanity comes in June. This has been 5 seconds. Of GSN.
Woo-hoo. Now let's have Amazing Race last a little bit longer in terms of recapping, if you're ready, Mr. Block.
Yes, I do. Okay. So, I am. So get this. They went from the cold of Georgia to the heat of the of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. Also, you know, the location of Fast and Furious 7, for those who don't remember. They had to drive themselves in an SUV to a marked Bedouin camp outside in the Al-Faqa Desert. They would receive a traditional nose-to-nose greeting and the detour clore with the Travelocity roaming gnome. You had to – it was either – which, of course, they had to carry with them. It was either races or Oasis. In races, they traveled to the Dubai Camel Racetrack where they had to compete against racing camels, okay, with automatic in a two-mile race on bikes. If they beat the camels, they received their next clue. If they failed to win, they get a head start. In Oasis, they had to walk through the desert in a marked path to offer traditional bread and milk before receiving their next clue. The clues then told them to go to Atlantis the Palm Water Park on the Palm Jumeirah, which is, by the way, a gorgeous hotel, which is basically a carbon copy of the one in Atlantis. I think you've been there, haven't you, Chico?
I've been to Atlantis on Paradise Island in the Bahamas. The Paradise in the UAE is quite similar from what I understand.
Okay, so what happened was is that one team member in a roadblock had to put on a diving helmet and walk through the aquarium containing sharks, manta rays, to receive the canister and then put it in a net, take it out. What they had to do was solve an old-school water puzzle, if you remember these from when you were a kid, okay? But you had to put the RACE in the box to then get your next clue. I believe one team used the Express Pass, which was Brody and Kurt, I believe. Brody and Kurt, I think. They used the Express Pass.
Brody and Kurt did use the Express Pass, and they end up winning the leg.
Right. So then both team members had to slide down the Poseidon Revenge water slide. I so wanted to do that. That was in these really tidy whitey gold lamé bathing suits that looked like rejects from Solid Gold in the 70s, by the way.
Did you just name check Solid Gold?
Yes, I name check Solid Gold. Okay. By the way, this was a callback to season 15. Where Meekin Cannon wouldn't do the water slide, okay? And then they had to go to the Daira district of Dubai, take a marked boat to find Phil at Old Souk Station. So, as you said, Brody and Kurt won the leg and won a trip for two to Helsinki, Finland.
Thanks to the roving gnomes of Travelocity.
Ding. Right. Yes, ding. Sherry and Cole were saved yet again! Because they were in a non-elimination leg. Unbelievable. Okay?
Wow.
So, they're going to compete a speed bump, and, you know, we've got four legs to go before we find out who the winner is, and we have final days, but, yeah, Sherry and Cole escaped again. Unbelievable, to say the least.
They're touched by an angel, but you have to wonder, is fate going to shine upon them for a third time? I don't see it happening. How about you, Jordan?
You never know in this game. It's not like you have any, you have some good teams. It's not like any powerhouse teams, and certainly like the powerhouse teams can't be tripped up. So I could see anything happening. I could certainly see them surviving. You still have enough, quote-unquote, not very good teams that are out there that are one or two mistakes away from finishing last.
Indeed.
Yeah, exactly.
So I wouldn't sell them short.
Exactly. You don't know what task might get another team in trouble. So
or it doesn't even have to be a task. How many times has bad direction screwed somebody up? Or bad flight itinerary?
Or what about even an equalizer point, like an airport or a front gate or something like that?
Absolutely. So, no, there's lots of issues.
There's lots of issues. There is lots of issues, but Sherry and Cole have been stuck at the bottom for a while. I guess we'll just see how this goes, because so far it's getting really exciting.
Speaking of really exciting, we had a barn burner at the Hell's Kitchen. Oh, baby. Okay. We had a double elimination this past week. I'm also going to pull this up. Thank you very much.
We had a double elimination, and it turns out it was a double disaster of a dinner, actually. I'll tell you right now, at the chef's table this week, Randy Couture, MMA great, and Neil Jackson, who was some guy, They were the guests. They were at the chef's tables, and also at the chef's tables were Aaron and Christina,
winners of Hell's Kitchen.
Yep.
And what happened was is that first of all in the challenge, Ramsey went to Animo Venice Charter High School, and
surprised the. Chefs with high school photos of themselves, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jared wins the challenge and takes Kristen to go with them to Levi Stadium to meet Dwight Clark and Guy McIntyre and have dinner. They went up to Levi Stadium. So Santa what happened Clara. Was yes, and what happened was is that in this Savers of Five, everyone got to be sous chef. And what happened was Jared undercooked scallops multiple times. Manda served, like, raw steak, like, twice. It was nuts, okay?
It really was. Jared recovered as sous chef, but he needed Kristen's help when returning to a station. Manda was vocal, but at the same time, she did not get the respect that she was looking for from her team. And if you're a sous chef, if you're working the pass, you've got to get that respect. So, otherwise, mass chaos.
And so,
Kristen was deemed a good sous chef by both Christina and Aaron. They should know, they won the whole thing. But at the same time, Manda served more raw New York strip, which could have been tartare if you ask me. So Ramsey goes back and directs the rest of the team for the rest of the service. Needless to say, it was not a good night to be in Hell's Kitchen.
And the fact is, the three that are left, which are Ariel, Ashley, and Kristen, are the three strongest people left by far. The question is, though, from the coming attractions, it seems like everyone is going to try and screw with service on the dinner date. But the question is, Gordon, I want to play a little game with you about who wins if. Who's got the best shot to win? Who's got the worst shot to win? What do you think?
I still think it's going to be an all-female final, and I think if it is an all-female final, I think my homegirl from Teaneck, Ariel's going to win this. However, Gordon Ramsay has not always played the equal opportunity card, and sometimes he's doing some strange things, as we all know, so that's not necessarily gimme.
Well, I'll tell you right now.
If Ariel gets to the end, she wins.
Tell you right now, we do have an all-female Final Three. Only the second time there's ever been an all-female Final Three. And the first time since Season 6 where the top three competed in service prior to the final.
Right.
So, but the question is that who do you think has got the biggest potential to screw it up for themselves? In other words, who might step on their own chef's tools, so to speak?
Who's going to cook their own goose?
Yes.
I think Christina has the capability of listening to her own press.
Kristen?
Yes.
I'll buy Kristen. I mean, it seems like of the three chefs remaining, she's not exactly the most consistent. I think Ariel has definitely come into her own ever since she's been, you know, between switches. Just, you know, she has a really hard time. I want to say a really hard time, you know, gelling with whoever she's working with. But ever since the merge, she's just been, you know, on fire. And,
well,
you know,
the gameplay has changed from, let's just make sure I'm not the person out, to, I better step it up. It's now time for the nitty-gritty endgame.
It is indeed time for the nitty-gritty endgame, and so far, all three chefs are in with a chance, but if you were to tell me who gets a win and who gets a loss, I think Ariel has the best chance to win. Kristen, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah, I put it this way. I would love to see Ariel win it because it's going to be real interesting, though, because all three chefs are talented in their own way. It's just going to be really fun. But as we all know, you know, a lot, we've got about, I would say, about a month left.
Next week is sweep, so yeah, a month left.
About a month left of all the shows before, you know, before the second season starts, and we have a little bit of a chart, right, Chico?
Yes, we do have a little bit of a chart. ABC has come out with their list of everything that they're going to do this summer. So, for the first time in a podcast, I need a big board.
Here it is. Okay, it's behind you. Just remember, don't break the chalk. It's a little dusty in there.
It's a little dusty. Okay, here we go. And I want you all to pay attention because I am not repeating this, and there will be a test later. May 26th, Dan Harris will take over as the new host of 500 Questions. And this is where Jim says... Jim is not talking. Okay. If Jim was talking, he would say, get three questions wrong...
And you're gone.
But we don't have Richard Quest this year.
No, we have Dan Harris. And by the way, I think that's going to be an improvement. I really do, because what you're going to do is you're going to have a more serious, newsy sort of way of doing it. And I think that might help the show.
I think it might be actually... Sorry, I was a little preoccupied. I see what you're saying, Jason, but also by the same token, it won't be so serious, brah. If you catch my drift.
Yeah, I know. Not that serious, bruh. But I'm just...
Three in a row wrong and you're gone. Not that serious.
Yeah, no, not... In other words, on an emphasis scale, maybe a 6 instead of like a 9 or a 10 like he was.
Actually, he was more like 11-7, but that's close.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so... Yeah.
He was definitely believing in himself a little too much. Anyway. No. June 14th. Is the long-awaited, if you ask me, debut of To Tell the Truth.
Yes, sir.
Wasn't that shot last year?
It was shot last year with Anthony Anderson hosting, Nene Leakes, Betty White, and Jalen Rose. They may be young, but they're ready. They were just waiting for a slot to come open. Well, guess what? You got your open slot now.
Is that code? No, it isn't.
Okay. Well, now let me ask you something. I'm going to ask Gordon this. Do you think To Tell the Truth could work now?
I think they would almost have to make some changes on it to make it a little bit more relevant. Just like in the show that we'll be talking about in the weeks to come, just like Pyramid made the show relevant because they upped the ante in terms of the money, I think To Tell the Truth's got to do the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I've always thought To Tell the Truth was more of a character-oriented show. You make the central figure your star, and you build the game around that. If they can do that with this iteration, I think they're in with a chance.
put it to you this way. Of the four offerings, four or so offerings ABC has, I'm least confident about this one. I just think, maybe I'm a purist at heart. I know they have to modernize it. I know they have to add tweaks to it. But I have a feeling something in the gameplay is going to be lost in translation, perhaps. You know, but we'll see. I hope I'm wrong. I've seen it. It's sight unseen for me, but I want it to work, obviously. We all do, so we'll see what happens.
Okay. Meanwhile, back to the big board. June 23rd is the Season 2 premiere of BattleBots.
Yay.
We love BattleBots around here. We have a new face on BattleBots.
Yes, we do.
And if I can get her name real quick, I know it's somebody borrowed from ESPN.
Oh, what's her name from Fox isn't back this year, huh?
What's her name from Fox
Molly,
is not back?
Oh, what's her name, yeah.
Her name is Samantha Ponder.
Oh, Christian Ponder's wife, yay!
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't make the connection there.
Well, you made the connection now. Well, it only makes sense because it's in the family. I take it, though, that Chris Rose is back?
Yes.
Damn it.
Sorry. And Kenny Florian is also back.
It'll still be good, though. It'll still be awesome.
Yeah. Indeed. Okay, next on June 26th, two long-awaited premieres. First is Celebrity Family Feud. More Celebrity Families feuding.
That's right,
my
please.
Man.
One of the hottest working men in show business, Steve Harvey, who is going to have hits on two networks and syndication. Thank you very much.
He's living the dream that Cedric couldn't. Oh.
Well,
that's horrible.
I'm not wrong.
Well, Cedric is Steve Harvey with all that talent baggage. You know. Anyway,
that's what everybody says about him. It's true.
Yeah. But on that same night, I think something else premieres.
Yep. Michael Strahan and the currently rolling, as of right now, $100,000 Pyramid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Gordon, you were actually in the audience for a few episodes. Anything
I was in the audience for a few episodes. As we all know, we all signed a little disclaimer saying that I'm not going to say anything. But I will say this. If you are a fan of Classic Pyramid, and you prefer that over Donny Osmond's Pyramid, you're going to be happy. Michael Strahan does, in my opinion, an excellent job. Do I think things are perfect? No. But I think that all the episodes are worth a watch. And all I will say is that you will see somebody on TV's bloopers and practicing jokes.
That's going to be fun. Well, the Pyramid is a solid format, and if they don't screw it up, and I don't think they will, and it sounds like Michael Strahan can deliver the goods, so that's going to be a fun watch, I think.
Amazing how I'm
he can and he doesn't, so you guys are for a treat. This is fun.
Okay.
All
right. Moving on, we'll talk more about Michael Strahan later, but right now, moving on, August 2nd... Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, you're ready. You're
there. We go.
You're tailgating,
there we go.
Baby.
Your favorite show.
My favorite show in the whole
world. Chico just got all warm and tingly. If he had hairs on the top of his head, they'd stand up straight right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Bachelor in Paradise. What is that? Season 4? Season 3?
Eight too many seasons to Chico.
Season
yeah.
2. It's season two. Oh, sorry, season three.
Sorry.
Wow. Yeah.
It just felt like two. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then there's also the after show.
Yeah!
Paradise. After Paradise.
Good grief.
Well, you all hear all the juicy gossip. I know Chico's all about that.
Oh, aren't I just?
Oh, you are our answer to Wendy Williams. How you doing?
How you doing? Yes, exactly.
Bada bing, gossipiest guy in the room.
If Gordon's been strangely silent as the other two panelists have been berating me about The Bachelor.
It's always fun to berate you about The Bachelor.
Yeah. It's one thing that Gordon and I have a rare common ground on.
He's just spreading the love.
Yeah, so yeah, now I just question, is that all the big ABC shows?
That is all the big ABC shows. If I was looking forward to one, obviously it was going to be the $100,000 pyramid, because let's face it, it's the only game show that I have seen every single... No, I'm lying. I just really like the format.
Now, you're interested in Bachelor in Paradise. Don't lie, y'all. Don't lie. But
well, I will say this, though. But still, look at it this way. You've got, what, 5 shows on ABC. They are really trying to get shows.
Yeah, they're really trying to make up for that whole Quest fiasco from a couple of years back.
Mm-hmm.
And also things like Rising Star and...
Rising Star, where the host needs to rise on decaf.
Yes, and also, I will say this, the only show that ABC should have had a hit on was Whodunit, but they didn't. Damn it. I would love to have seen a season 2 of that, because that was one of my favorite summer shows of the past 5 years. But all joking aside, Gordon, this is a pretty strong lineup, though, overall.
It's a very strong lineup. We'll see how good it is. I think you'll have at least one hit. I think you'll have at least one miss. But I think it'll be fun. I think it'll definitely be fun to see. And while we're looking at that, I think the hamsters are ready for a little brain vision.
Yeah, well, let's take a break first after, so we can get the hamsters nice and warmed up. But after brain vision, more reviews, including something we already talked about. With Jason Block, with Jim Williams, with Gordon Pepper, I'm Chico Alexander. Stick and stay with Spectrum One, your home for WLTI. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 reasons to watch shows this summer that actually feature real games.
Ooh.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, though. With Bachelor in Paradise, I hear Poppy's in the running. See, very intrigued. I could be the Bachelor.
Yes.
Oh, for the love!
You'd watch it, Chico. You'd watch it.
I know you would. Exactly.
Why do you make me do this? We'll be back. Stick around.
WLTI's Brain Vision has been brought to you by the Pony Pad. Will Fluttershy pick Pinkie Pie or Applejack? Will Rary want to continue her summer with Princess Luna or Mare Mare? And what about Therapy? It's the Pony Pad, the only show that we know that will put Chico Alexander and Jim Williams together while Gordon Pepper and Jason Block laugh furiously at both of them.
That's hilarious.
No,
good
it's
one.
Not.
Love that. That's
blinking nice. Fertilizer. Bargle, bargle.
Just give me an idea for the second break. Welcome back to WLTI.
Yes,
thanks for being a part of our show and allowing our show to be a part of you. I'm here with Gordon Pepper, Jason Block, Jim Williams, and a bunch of hamsters and an evil-looking cat.
Yes, and the evil-looking cat is looking, well, she's
and
been staring.
He says he only wants to be known as Scootaloo from now on.
Holy crap.
I don't even get what Gordon's talking about, and I think.
Gordon, don't you have some beans?
Roll that beautiful twilight sparkle,
brain. From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Doug Morris. Remember, if you are in the Southern Mississippi area and you wish to listen to more of Doug Morris, you can do so Sunday afternoons, 20 years of Rock Tracks on Rock 104 WXRR Laurel. Or if you're not in Mississippi, you can listen to him on DougMorris.net.
Do it, people. It's pony free. Do it.
But right now, it's time to get the green light, because I don't know if you guys know this, but as we're doing this show, there's a premiere going on.
Yes, that would be on, I believe, Fox Sports 1.
Well, FS1 now, since it's, you know, since it's trying to be the Fox News of the sports world.
It's the one for fun, hey.
Hey, it did give America the wonder that is Jay and Dan.
Dance.
Yes. Right, yes, exactly, because this is the 23rd, can you believe this, 23rd season premiere, Team Jedrzejczyk versus Team Gadhelda, which is a, this is the another women's edition of the Ultimate Fighter. Ultimate
Fighter. Yes, it is. But it is the first one with its own after show, believe it or not.
Called Tough Talk.
Tough Talk. Hmm. Yeah, see what they did there? They went punny.
Where do they steal that name from, Jason?
Did they steal it from the WWE, perhaps?
Quite possibly. Just saying.
Yeah, but they spell it T-U-F, see?
Oh, because they're... Yeah, I see what you...
Yes, yes, exactly. But yeah, believe me, there's a little hate... I don't know if I could also talk about this. This is... we could talk about Haterade later. About the Ultimate Fighter right now. But we'll get to that later.
Do you know who's hosting Tough Talk offhand?
Offhand, it looks like Kenny Florian.
Okay.
It's not only is it hosted by Kenny Florian of BattleBots, mm-hmm. It's also hosted by veteran combat sports journalist. I just remember her from MTV and ABC News. Karen Bryant.
Yeah, that's the thing, and I mean this as no disrespect to Bryant, who I actually don't mind whatsoever, but from what I've seen on from various websites, a lot of MMA fans not big on her work. So, and this is actually nothing technically new in that FS1 has had Ultimate Fighter like interview segments before on the old Fox Sports Live program where they're just pretty much goading people and, you know, trying to start poop. So it's just a natural extension of that. Poop.
Right.
Poop.
But yeah, right now Brian says, I'm fired up for the new season of Tough Talk, not only because this season of Tough has two very talented, very competitive, and very outspoken coaches in Joanna Jedrzejczyk and Claudia Gadella.
Mm-hmm.
But also because our newly expanded show gives us even more time to get to know the latest pool of up-and-coming talent. We'll deliver in-fight analysis and technical breakdowns of the action in the octagon, giving UFC fans more of what they love. Adding Florian, I'm excited to follow once again for this season of The Ultimate Fighter. As a tough alum, remember, he was in Season 1 back when it was on...
Spike,
thank you. I was trying to keep my network straight. I'm looking forward to see how it all unfolds and what the experiences were like for coaches and competitors involved.
We shall see. We shall see. This is going to get very interesting because I have a little... I don't know, Gordon, but I may have a little bit of haterade for you regarding a recent Ultimate Fighter coach.
Ooh.
You know who I'm talking about.
We'll discuss that a little later. I think I do know what you're saying. But we can discuss that a little later. Right now, let's look at our date book, shall we?
And it's quite full, it seems.
It is very full. Thursday, we have the series premiere of Alone. We have the season premiere of... the season and series premiere of Alone. We have the season finale of Cooks vs. Cons. That was quick.
Well, it was only 6 episodes, and it'll be back over the summer.
That's too bad. Monday, we have the Jeopardy Teachers Tournament. That happens. That's always fun. Tuesday,
by the way, was that the one that they just filmed in D.C. a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tuesday, we have the season premiere of Chops Jr., which is also always fun. And Wednesday, we have the season finale of The Fashion Fund.
Which, if you remember, is on Amazon.
Yay.
Yay.
Which is now the official and only home of Doctor Who in the U.S. online.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you want to see more game shows wrapped up in awards, you can go Fully Loaded. Isn't that right, Chico?
Yes, you can. I've got a double shot. Who's ready for a double shot?
I am ready for a double shot, yes.
Okay, first of all, the Daytime Emmys is on May 1st, but it will not be on television. Instead, it will be streaming live via Parachute.
Is that an app?
That is an app, actually.
So a guy's going to be videotaping it from high above, and he's going to parachute in. What?
I don't know. It's along the lines of a Periscope, basically.
Oh. Oh, never mind.
Lovely.
Periscope, your Snapchats, and if you want to download Parachute, it is, well, I don't know where it is, but it's probably gonna be on Parachute. I have no idea.
And next year's awards will be on Tinder, and I take my bow.
It's actually, it's a Parachute app. The Parachute app is at, it's coming soon. Good Lord.
Are you kidding me?
It's parachuteapp.co. The bait, it's only Apple only. It's from what I'm looking at it.
It's not on the App Store. I'm looking at it right now.
Good Lord. Okay. So, you think that's bad? Your double shot is a bunch of arsenic. Go on.
CBS has launched a new web series called Not Safe for Daytime, which includes behind-the-scenes talk, on-set visits, and sketches from your favorite CBS daytime stars. We're talking about The Talk. We're talking about Let's Make a Deal. We're talking about The Price is Right. We're talking about two other shows. But, yeah.
Yeah, and I have this, and, okay. Here's some of the highlights.
Okay.
Bold and Delicious. Actor Pearson Foday of the Bold and the Beautiful spoof sexy fast food burger commercials. Priceline with Cheryl Underwood and George Gray. The Talk host tries to cut in line at The Price is Right, but finds out what happens when Underwood runs into the show's announcer, George Gray. And hashtag Let's Make a Deal behind the deal. Announcer Jonathan Magum of Let's Make a Deal pitches games ideas to Zonk favorite characters, Zonky the Donkey, the Gorilla, and Turtle that could put them out of work. Yeah.
I was like, all together now. One, two, three. Yeah. Okay. Excuse me.
The less said about the better.
The
That's
last
not exactly.
You thought this, well, and you yeah. thought this was dumb. Really
well,
sorry.
But, you know, Let's Make a Deal has had a string of smart choices. That was not one of them, and neither is this. Are you smarter than Chris, our little friend on American Grit, who was the first one to go?
That's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not done yet.
Oh, I know we're not. Okay. Go ahead.
Are you smarter than Deal or No Deal's $20,000 winner, Carl Rose, who was busted for dealing drugs in Coventry?
Yeah. How appropriate
by the way,
that
would be. $25,000, which almost wipes out the $20,000 that he won.
Lovely.
But wait, there's more.
Oh my goodness.
Is there a Ginsu knife involved?
Are you smarter than, and yes, Jay, here it is, Donald Trump?
Oh, how dare you, I'm Hitch.
I actually thought you were going to go with somebody else even after that, but okay.
Well, we can hope that's somebody else, but Donald Trump deciding that the 9/11 attacks were apparently the 7/11 attacks.
Better that than the mystery 7 attacks.
Yeah, well,
better that than the Circle K attacks.
For the weapons of mass destruction. Jay, would you like to add anything to the conversation?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, put it to you this way. Are you also smarter than Kurt Schilling?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Did you hear about this, next, Gordon?
Next question.
why don't you discuss since you brought it up?
Well, Kurt Schilling has been known to say some very controversial things. He made some very anti-transgender comments using a very unflattering picture of what he determined as a transgender was, and basically ESPN canned his sorry ass.
It took that? Finally?
Yes. Yep.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer SOP, let me tell you.
Yes, exactly. So we had four smart people. Dumb people, excuse me.
Hate to see what's actually in the haterade. Yeah, I was about to say, hate to see what's in the haterade if it's full of smart people.
Oh, no, I've got another dumb person, but this is much more than haterade. Cheryl Burke, and this is a quote, "My least favorite partner on Dancing with the Stars was Ian Ziering. He made me want to slit my wrists."
Oh, gosh.
And she should
and
know.
And Cheryl Burke had to apologize for that little oopsie.
And with all the hell she's shown in her personal life that she went through, that she's talked about, she should know better. I mean, come on.
And
well,
something that intertwines the whole of the week, sort of. Michael Strahan moves to Good Morning America. Kelly Ripa has now staged a boycott of the show that she stars in.
Well, I guess the show's officially going to get better now.
Wow. Not wrong, but wow.
Reach out, Michael.
Well, yeah. Wait. It gets better. She wasn't on the show this morning.
Oh, she's no, not she showing was up anytime soon, it looks like.
No.
No, well, she's not.
Seven Lincoln Square is going to be a fun place to be the next few weeks, and I don't mean for those of you who enjoy Eyewitness News with Sade, Better, and Wah, and the rest of
it. Yes, yeah, but I'm going to ask you, Gordon, do you think that this is legit real, or do you think this is a temper tantrum, or what do you think, in your opinion?
Because you know, think a temper tantrum's real.
Okay.
It could be interesting, you know. I find it interesting. I know that, that's not exactly the brightest thing to do. And finally, from Debbie Warner, Scott Pollard and Kyle Jason were bullies beyond anything Survivor has seen before. And needless to say, Debbie was rejoicing greatly when Scott was eliminated this week.
I bet she was. And Ponderosa's going to be fun when he gets there. Yeah,
that's not going to be awkward. Not at all.
I miss our local Ponderosa. Continue.
No, but I actually have another little piece of haterade. This just actually broke this week.
I've heard about it. Do it.
Okay. Recent UFC coach on The Ultimate Fighter, Conor McGregor.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Has claimed that he is now officially retired. And pulled himself, well, then Dana White basically said, okay, you're out of UFC. First of all, you're out of UFC 200. And now basically he said, if you're out of UFC 100, give me back the title. And it's put it to you this way, it's going to get uglier after, you know, it's not going to get pretty by any stretch.
First off, couldn't happen to a nicer prick in the form of Dana White. Second of all, Who wants to take a bet on McGregor being at WWE by next WrestleMania? Anybody want in?
No, not yet, because I think Kiko needs to travel where Scott McGregor is, or are we going somewhere else?
To where, Chico?
We're going to somewhere else. We're going to New Zealand. Although we could go to Ireland, since they may be getting BBC's version of Mastermind, but we know that Mastermind is definitely coming to New Zealand. And they're adding a third round, which centers around New Zealand trivia.
Oh, okay. Boy.
So yeah, that's gonna be a pretty interesting time. Let's see what comes out of there. Maybe a couple of media hoes, perhaps.
Oh, I would definitely think some media hoes will be coming out of that. In this week's Hoedometer, Nick Carter and Lauren Kidd welcome a baby boy. Aww. Aww. He's got a cell phone to break up Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries' marriage. Adam Levine and wife, the hottie prince, will have a baby girl on the way.
Aww.
Khloe Kardashian joins Snapchat and shares clips with Lamar Odom.
Ooh.
Teresa Giudice confirms Turning the Tables memoir sequel release. And last but not least, according to the Bachelor creator, JoJo Fletcher's season might be the most emotional ever.
Oh, God.
Huh?
We've heard this before.
But none of them is your Horror of the Week, where I pretty much telegraphed in the last segment.
Go ahead.
Your Ho is one Michael Strahan.
For doing all the stuff he's been doing this week.
Doing everything, including hosting Pyramid, and now jumping toward Good Morning America, and leaving the carnage of a crying Hilly Whippa in his wake.
Now, Carl, the chief high muckety muck of Spectra One, brought this up in the thread, and TMZ was actually doing some reporting on this. Could Michael Strahan's live exit paved the way for a third hour of Good Morning America?
I say it could. It could. I don't know. The question is, live with the live franchise, how big is it?
It's big. It's one of the top daytime syndicated talkers every week.
It is, you know.
I mean, and yes, it's on mostly ABC-owned and operated stations, obviously, and affiliates, but not all ABC stations across the country. So, I don't know. I don't think going to a third hour behooves ABC, quite frankly. So,
no, I know that ABC doesn't have the exclusive Sharp rights on Kelly and Michael, because there's a second NBC affiliate in my area, and that airs Kelly and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't cost them a bit.
Are your hoes?
It wouldn't cost them a bit to just say, "Here, have another hour of Good Morning America."
Here, you love okay. George Stephanopoulos. You eat him up like meatloaf, ladies and gentlemen.
He's everybody's neighbor. He's like butter. Anyway.
He is Mr. Rogers for... No, he isn't. That's not right.
No, all right. I'm shutting down the chopper. What else we got?
What else we got? We've got a whole battery full of Maximum Strength capsule reviews right after this word from the Vin Scully Listminder.
Oh, yes.
You've heard him tell stories about everything from thumbtacks to his time hosting It Takes Two. You can have him on your phone telling you what groceries you need to buy and why you should not avoid the number 13. That's the Vin Scully. That's the Vin Scully Pocket Minder. Yours for the low, low price of nothing, because Vin Scully is on a victory tour, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, he is. And by the way, that little bit was from a clip that ESPN played, I believe, on the Sunday in the Giants-Dodgers game.
Yeah, and they also replayed it on the Mickey and Mickey show, I think, where somebody just randomly wanted him to record read a list of their groceries that they were going to get for their grocery list from 40 years ago. It was recorded, saved on tape, and they played it, and it's glorious. It's freaking...
You know what I want Vince Scully to record next? My outgoing message on my voicemail.
Hi, this is Vince Scully. Chico can't make it right now. He's enjoying a delicious Farmer John hot dog, or perhaps getting fueled up by 76. They're on the driver's side. He can't get to the phone, but if you have a name, number, and a brief message, he'll be sure to get back to you as soon as possible. In the meantime, 2-2 to Harvey Keene.
Yes.
Moving on before Kim Williams bores us to death, let's go to...
You son of...
Let's go.
We have a lot of them, and let's start off with American Grit.
Yes, yeah. Okay. So again, we kind of explained this earlier. It is a military-style obstacle course type of a show where four teams of four have to work together to survive challenges, and we talked about the circus and all this sort of stuff. I like the show. I like the show. I like the production value. I thought John Cena was a very good conduit, especially in week one, where he dressed down this guy. I liked it a lot. I give it a solid B.
Yeah, I think it's got a really good storytelling element. I like how John Cena is not just host as host, but also host as observer. We see him in his element. We don't see any sort of prop up. He is in the poopy with the contestants, and that just adds to the gritty realism of the show. It's really good. It's really well put together. I give it a B.
I didn't like it as much as you guys did. I thought it was a solid show. And here's what I liked. I liked the production values a lot. Production values were good. Editing was good. John Cena was good. What I'm not too fond with right now is the storytelling of it. I also think that you have definite flaws in the gameplay of it, because the circus is something that you do not want to go to, ever. That means you have a chance of going home, and instead you have everybody wanting and claiming that they want to go into the circus. Huh? Unless there's a magical pot of gold or brownie cookies resembling 420 that's somewhere hidden in the circus that we're not aware of, something there doesn't really work out too good. So I think that I have some other issues with it, but I think it's not a bad show by any stretch, but there's some things that need to be worked out here. B minus.
But here's the sad thing: the ratings does not belong. Again, this is one of the another Fox show where the ratings are not very good, and I'm really and I'm sad about this because I think the show deserves better, and I hope it gets a little better.
Yeah, okay? We'll see.
Well, you hear Fox show, and everybody goes, "Uh-oh!" I mean, the advertising for this has not been great. You know, I didn't even know that the show was going to be on until I think you or Chico told me that. So that's never good to begin with.
They were really pubbing the heck out of this during the finale of American Idol, and...
Well, there you go.
Here's the problem. The audience for American Idol does not typically tune into a show like this.
Bingo.
No, it does not. You're looking at screaming teenage girls for a show that's set for screaming teenage boys.
Yeah.
Hot kids. Next.
And overgrown adolescents.
Yes.
Anywho.
And adults that are not going to watch Idol.
Right. Let's move on, shall we? We're moving on to America's Greatest Makers. We're looking for America's next big inventor again. Only...
You've never heard this before, right? It's new.
Yeah, I remember this back when it was called American Inventor, and it was done by Simon Cowell. Actually, no, I remember this back when it was called All American Makers on the Science Channel and done exceptionally better.
And again, here's where money and talent don't go well together. I mean, you've got a lot of money here. We're talking a $1 million prize. We're talking Intel CEO Brian Krzanich, Kevin Pereira, Carol Roth, Kenny Smith, Mayim Bialik, Shaquille O'Neal, Chris Hardwick, and you get this? Very sad.
Really?
Yeah.
The budget went to get all the non-NBA on TNT talent. Seemingly.
Yeah. Kenny the Jet Smith.
Well, my biggest problem with this is it feels like a pale ripoff of Shark Tank.
It is a tale. That's only because it is a pale ripoff of Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. You got the Xerox, the whole Xerox mentality here. And you know, the only thing I could just say is that nothing new, nothing original, nothing to write home about.
How can I put this? Back to the drawing board. D minus.
I'm going to agree with Chico on this completely. This one's going to get devoured by sharks. D minus.
And Jim? Was...
Yeah, it's a D because it's essentially, like you said, a pale imitation of a better show in Shark Tank. By the way, Mr. Wonderful is a decent candidate also, I should have mentioned, for some hoage or some haterage when he talked about how poverty is a wonderful thing.
Oh, for the love of... the insanity!
Let's think a little bit about this next one, boys.
Yeah, okay. This next one comes from our friends at MTV. It's called Binge Thinking.
Think of it as broke-ass game show if it were a trivia contest. You have a bunch of trivia games, and correct answers are worth $5. Except for the Dining Dash, which is worth late-night snacks for everybody.
Yeah, okay. So here's the deal. We almost made broke-ass game show one of the worst shows of the year. For a very distinct reason. Cheap, cheap, cheap. Again, MTV was the home of Remote Control and Idiot Savant. And now they have this. F.
Not to mention Turn It Up.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know a little show called
Not
Turn
to mention
It Up.
Turn It Up, yes.
Underrated. Yes.
Yes, underrated. Excuse me. F. This is an absolute F. Mac Miller, really, you know, just come on. Blah. F.
Sorry, but the only thing I enjoy watching on this show is Amber Diamond. And Tachos at the end. F.
Yeah, it's not a good show. And MTV, I mean, it's not really their thing to per se be the headlining entertainment in terms of game shows, but they've got to do better than this. F plus.
Wow, that's insulting to F.
It's MTV 2, by the way.
No, in that case, F minus.
Yeah, well, excuse me. In other words, epic fail. Yes.
I award you a grade point average of 0.0.
There's another show that might hit there in a minute, so just hold on a minute.
Okay.
It's not this next one, though. We move to the Black Entertainment Television, BET, for Chasing Destiny. Kelly Rowland is looking for the next girl group. Stop me if I've heard this.
I remember when some of her other teammates did this.
Who?
And Left Eye Lopez.
Who?
Left Eye. Remember Left Eye? And she wanted to go see the Next Best Rappers?
No, you're talking about Chili and T-Boz, because Left Eye is no longer with us.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right, that's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. Left Eye.
Indeed.
But, yeah, she says,
again,
I want reality stars. I want stars. Yeah.
Yeah, well, again, nothing new, boring, just give me a C and move on, so.
Yeah, no good, back to the drawing board. Next one, Chico?
Good, it's a D plus for me. It's just, you know, Kelly Rowland could have done so much better. I mean, there's a spot opening up on The Voice, and that has her name on it.
Somewhere Beyonce's laughing at this all, but, you know, that's Beyonce for you.
Go for it.
Diva.
Yeah. Anywho, next up, Ray J wants to drive you to your next date.
F-minus, nuff said.
No, seriously. Okay, you've got Ray J doing Cash Cab and sort of The Bachelor. It's like Astro Glide and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. No.
Oh, God.
No way.
How can I put this? No.
Just copy and paste what I said. The fact that Ray J is actually getting money from a company is beyond me. Sorry. Dislike the man. Because he helped make Famous an empire. Damn it.
Yeah. No, but
okay, Gordon, does this have any redeeming value?
I was actually trying to get some caffeine to stay awake for the show.
You're a wise man, Mr. Pepper.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm a wise man that failed miserably trying to do it. You know what? Again, it's just, hey, you know what? It's the summer. Let's bring in all our retreads of shows that we know didn't do anything during the winter. But maybe they'll do something during the summer so we can at least salvage something out of it. Is it just me, or is that what we're feeling right now? Because that's what I'm feeling right now.
I'm feeling a little bit of indigestion right now, actually.
All I gotta say, if there's something worth salvaging, you go and you see Fred Sanford. You don't see Ray J, ladies and gentlemen.
No, but
I don't want Ray J hooking me up with anybody. The last person Ray J hooked up with ended up being famous for having a big ass and a sex tape.
Hat tip, Joel McKay.
Yes, but let's just talk about the last one, which actually is sort of a bookend, and I watched this, and I believe it or not, I actually enjoyed this show. This was called Strong, which is produced by Sylvester Stallone and hosted by Gabrielle Reese. Done also by the producers of The Biggest Loser. You have ten females hooking up, and literally hooking up with 10 male trainers in different forms of exercise to form the best team and, I believe, to win $500,000 between them. Now, I will say this, though. I actually felt that the show – I mean, even though there were a lot of elements I liked, like the production value, which is insanely good, okay – there's a lot of stuff I didn't like, and I actually think it was the outright sexism of the show, okay? Because here's what happened. You had the opening moments of the show where the 10 trainers tried to prove themselves by, you know, sledgehammering through bricks and lifting weights, and all the comments you heard was, oh, this guy's hot, this guy's great, this guy's got, you know, things like that. And I was like, really? You know, that sort of thing. And you saw the product placement a mile away. Even though I am wearing one, you know, you saw the logos for Fitbit, for EAS, for the weights and stuff. And the National, what was it, the National Association of Physical Training, or which is
National
where the
Loser... Association of Sports Medicine or something like that.
Yeah, Sports Medicine, that's right, where the losers continue to train even when they're eliminated. I will give this a I want to it's better than a C. I'll say a B minus.
No, it's not.
No.
Educate us, Gordon.
It's a generic run-of-the-mill program that we've seen before. I know Jay's going to try to claim that there's some new stuff on this, but there really isn't. So, yeah, see.
Okay. I'm going to give this an F, and I will tell you why.
What?
Okay. I will tell you. I will tell you why. The show takes the worst of The Biggest Loser, mashes it with some sort of American Ninja Warrior competition in the end, I'm imagining, and then we're expect to believe that this is an earnest journey and that there's a dream to be fulfilled at the end. This takes all the veneer and just blows it up in everybody's face. And after seeing what The Biggest Loser became, I just can't buy this show. I just can't.
Well, you know what? I don't have a problem with The Biggest Loser because it may be formulaic, but you knew what was going to happen and it all made sense at the end. This doesn't really make sense, ever.
So you see what I'm getting at, then, don't you?
Absolutely, and I don't disagree with you on it.
I'll give it a D. Indeed, it's just... obviously, the four of us are not in the demo for this show. As obvious, given obviously stated by the, ooh, look at him sledge that hammer. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. It's blatant, it's cheap, it's disingenuous, I think would be a good word.
I think that would be a very good word, actually.
So yeah, I'm going to give it a D, and you know my stance on shows like The Biggest Loser. In fact, another case study posted recently of the first winner really not being a winner, if you catch my drift.
Yeah. But, and that's all of our, that's all the capsule reviews. We're going to head to our pharmacy for a refill, but first... we've got a speed round, and that comes right after a word from...
Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, together again in The Really Odd Couple. See these two people being attached to the hip from state to state to state from now till November. But wait, that means they go through August and September sweep, and a little bit of October as well. See what these people really do want to kill the other one.
I just have one question, Gordon. Does Trombone Shorty perform the theme music?
Yes, he does.
More important question, do the two survive their respective riots, I mean conventions, in August? All right.
I think we will know a little bit more if we have a speed round. And we will stress that. Now, Survivor, who is the next loser of two opportunities to you must die?
obviously a man.
obviously, yeah.
Obviously, and I believe it's going to be Jason because I think Ty has too much stuff to protect him at least through this week.
Ty has a lot of stuff. He's also got a lot of physicality. If he survives, Jason is gone. Jeopardy. How long does Hurricane Andrew roll through Culver City?
Ooh. At least through this week and through all the tournaments they just filmed at DC. I think he comes back after May and rested and ready, I think.
Maybe double digits, we'll see.
Maybe. Dancing with the Stars. Who's not seeing May?
I think it's time for Doug Flutie to go. He is... been on fumes for the last couple of weeks, and it would not surprise me to see him nicely toasted, like his Flutie Freaks,
yep.
Which are tasty.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
All right, Hell's Kitchen. Who does not make the top two?
Kristen.
Yeah, Kristen. I think Kristen.
Think Kristen?
What do you say? Yeah.
I agree.
I think Ariel's going to make the final two. I really do.
Ariel's going to
make the final two. I changed that from last week. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. I'm only saying that to stay in Gordon's good graces, I should add. No, I'm kidding! Mm. Oh, jeez. Okay, no mail, but how about a... How about let's check the old Twitter while I ask the amazing race. Is time running short for Sherry and Cole?
No, I can't predict the team who will be, but again, as we talked about earlier, there's always a point where teams can catch up. And remember, usually it's not the little it's not the big things that stop them, it's the little things like directions. Look at the team that lost because of those bags in South America. He was right there and he couldn't say anything.
It's the intangibles. I think maybe you'll agree with me on this, Jason. Of all the reality shows out there, the one that you could completely lose your lead on, if you will, or completely go from head of the pack to out and done in the course of a week is The Amazing Race more than any other show.
Indeed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Especially now that American Idol's gone. Aw. Twitter
for
shout
now.
Out. Yeah. For now. Twitter shout out to D Original Donald. He says, American Grit, I say 15 minutes and people will think we've hashtag seen enough and watch something else. I've heard better puns.
By the way, shout out to our boy, Ben Zeke, getting ready for the O. Henry pun-off.
Well, that's pluggage.
Yep. That's a good place to start the pluggage. Okay, so we're hoping to do a BS Big Show soon, and we've got a lot of material, especially the Eagles trading to the Browns.
Why?
Yes, for number
for the opportunity to ruin. I forgot
the franchise.
What his name is.
Just say it. Just ruin the franchise.
I was about to say, who's that guy from Notre Dame? From North Dakota State. God.
Yes, exactly. But
quarterback. Well, it could be worse.
I think Jim, you, me, and Jess have to actually do that little news bit. And we actually have to go over the schedule. We have to make a time next week to do it because we must talk about the schedule because there was a 2-hour release special. Good week.
We won't go that long, we promise.
Yes.
There's already an episode of BS up. Touch 'em All will be done later this week where we look through 2 weeks of the season, some of the news, the notes. And boy, it's really getting dicey in Boston. I'll just say that much. Also, we'll talk about ballpark food and how bizarre it's getting. NAWC keeps on going. We just got 420'd. And in 421, more from Raw and SmackDown over in London. The European tour just about over. Also, Red State, Blue State. We will be recapping what happened in New York and why it was pretty much by the book. Pixel Nation and all the other great podcasts available at Spectrum1.net and on the TuneIn Radio app and at TuneIn.com. Just search Spectrum One.
There you go.
All right. And Jason, Gordon, anything new in the Underground Bowling Association?
We have a team relays coming up this weekend. Our team's got their match in a couple weeks, so everything's nice and calm, which sometimes is how it needs to be.
Yeah. Speaking of, you want to have June 4th marked on your calendar. If you are a fan of trivia.
Ah, yes. Yes, WQC.
The World Quizzing Championships, yes. You can go to worldquizzing.com, find a venue near you. Here in North Carolina, it's actually going to be at Event Horizon Games in Garner, which is just a superb board game shop if you're into that sort of thing. And shout out to Event Horizon, because they deserve it. Remember, shop local.
I have not. I don't see any. Let's see. The
Spectrum One cares.
The America's venue. Let's see. Well, there's one in. Supposedly, there's only one right now in Austin, Texas. I don't see any more.
Well,
venues on the website.
You may have to keep yourself. You may have to keep yourself apprised on the many message boards out there. I know good friend of ours, Steve Bannerman. He's running the Raleigh venue.
And I believe also friends of the site, the Souchards are running one out in Placentia, California.
I
believe they are writing ones out there. But, it's let me tell you something. It's hard. It's really hard. But you want to know something? Gordon and I believe, have both done it, and it is a lot of fun to do. It is really
WPUC is a ton of fun to do. And I strongly suggest you do it.
Yes.
Yes. And, remember, that's June 4th.
Yes. And August 13th and 14th, Tecona 6. Tecona.com. Tecona.com. Go and do things like Learned League, which I believe is starting up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Learned League the Learned League Open Tournament, the Learned League Season Championship, Trivia Oki. The cold 100, I want to say, quiz bowl. We got pub quiz 5x5, and of course the marquee events, the West Coast edition of the 24-hour game show marathon benefiting Children's Hospital Los Angeles. I'm going to be a part of that. Stop in and say hi.
Yes, yes.
As we are winding towards the two-hour mark, we will be heading this off for a close. Special thanks again to Jason Block and Jim Williams. Chico, if you can, please. If people want to send email and stuff, where is it going?
Then we're going to go ahead and send it to WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com. You can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at GameShowNewsNet. I'm at Dino R. Alexander. Jason is at Beat the Block. Gordon is at GSNN Haterade. Jim is at J Williams on Air. Follow us. We love it.
Indeed.
Anyway, big thanks to Jason and Jim for hanging out. Great job as always. Gordon, you're my boy. You know that?
I do what I can.
Well, you do it well. And next week, we're going to talk more about Survivor, The Amazing Race, preview upcoming sweeps action on Jeopardy, and whatever else we can fit into the span of a couple of hours. So for everyone at Spectrum One, for everyone at Game Show Newsnet, I'm Chico Alexander. Our time's up. We thank you for yours. Until next time, game over, and spread the love.